Evening and welcome to the evening service of Providence Reformed Baptist Church. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of meeting that we have in this country at this time. And thank you for yourself, that you draw men out of the world into the ark of safety. And together to pray, we ask that you would enable us as we pray this evening. We do ask that you would provide for us in every way, that you would overcome tiredness and lethargy this evening, that you would give us ability to pray and pray for those things that are needful. We do ask that you would energize us spiritually, that you would refresh us, that we might see you again and know that you are our God. We do ask you for mercies afresh in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me to the 46th Psalm. The Psalm from which Luther wrote the hymn that we know, A Mighty Fortress. I'd just like to look at the fourth verse. You know, I think I have the third verse on the paper, but it's the fourth verse that I want to look at. That's funny. I put it in my notes from memory and thinking that, and then looked at the verse numbering and got it wrong. So I'd like to look at the fourth verse. So the psalm begins with difficulty. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And then, so that's kind of like the negative, but with a sight of help. The nature of our actual dealing in difficulty is given in the fourth verse. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And I wanted to look at that just for a few minutes here this evening. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. And I don't know if you know this psalm, and it is certainly a well-known psalm, if you thought about the river. Clearly, I think, because we have reference to a flowing river and the tabernacle, if you will, which is referenced here in this verse. Elsewhere in the scriptures, in very explicit terms, we can say with some confidence that the stream is the Holy Spirit. And you and I require the Holy Spirit to pray. And so it's an appropriate theme for us this evening. We have often a difficulty, maybe not praying, but certainly praying as we ought. We have a magnificent God and magnificent salvation, and yet our approach to him is that of a gnat to an elephant. We cannot obtain in the same reference sphere to our object. We look out and up, and we end up praying for our prayers. We remind ourselves of the glory of the object of our praise. And that's right. We have need to do that. But yet the disparity, the difference between our prayers and the glory about which we certainly praise God is immense. But this psalm reminds us that there is a river, and that this river is a blessing for the believer. Now, let me note some things about the river. It just says, there is a river. Let's note that those places in which rivers of this sort are named in the scripture, that this river is not natural. It's not like, well, we have a mountain and the rains fall down and here come the rivers. The River Nile, you know, has its headwaters a long way south in natural fashion, and then it flows out to the sea in the Mediterranean. This river is unnatural. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 35, it says, it's like streams in the desert. Where do they come from? Like when the children of Israel near Horeb had run out of water, and there was no water nearby. And so God instructed Moses to strike the rock. If you were there the day before, there was no water, and it was a desert place. You had to be in the right spot, so to speak, at the right time, and here is water in a supernatural fashion. If you're near there, there's no water. You have to be in the right place. It's a supernatural event. And that is the description elsewhere in Scripture. In Ezekiel 47, we see water flowing out of this temple that is described, really a heavenly temple described by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47, described also in Zechariah 14, Revelation 21, in the heavenly Jerusalem. It's flowing out of the presence of God. And that is that supernatural thing that flows. We see the Lord Jesus speaking of waters that will be made to flow out of the heart of the one that he enlivens. And likewise then, in Romans 8:15, the Holy Spirit specifically is called the one who gives prayer in some automatic fashion, I guess. We call God Father by means of the Holy Spirit in an automatic fashion. But it's supernatural. The one who before God was not Father. Now there is a turning to God. And so the psalmist says, there is a river. And not only does it flow from and to God, but it refreshes. In Revelation 21, it says that river is for the healing of the nations. And certainly, we have all known the refreshment of soul and the healing of spirit of a time of prayer in which we are in some conundrum or angst, and we turn to the Lord, and there is a sense, not necessarily that the problem is solved, but that we have the Holy Spirit and the sense that He is with me. And that is that refreshment of spirit from turning to Him. And that is the spirit of turning that we have. And having noticed at the beginning that we have this gap, and having noted all of the mitigation, if you will, because of the streams that flow, the gap, as it were, remains. And so the last note here is that heaven, as we noted in Revelation 21, heaven is the final place for that. In Psalm 46, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad. It is a promise here, and that is why it's this future tense. But it's a future tense for the believer too, to the extent that we recognize that there is this huge gap between how I ought to address God and how I do address God. That there we will praise Him as we ought. That in an endless fashion, Revelation says, the elders cry out, holy, holy, holy. Like the cherubim and seraphim, the elders continually cast their crowns down and give praise to the Father and the Son. And we will likewise. So that recognized gap, like the gnat to the elephant, will be closed. The gap will be negligible. We will fully praise. We will not tire of praising. We will, with all that is in us, praise God at that time. That helps us now not to get down on ourselves for our weak prayers. But what it does do is enables us to more properly look forward to heaven, where we will have unhindered praise, unhindered sight, fitting to its object, where we will not weary. We will not have to remind ourselves of the glory of the object of our praise. But there we will day and night cry out, oh, holy, 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 that He is worthy of worship in an unstinting, endless fashion. So there is another reason for us to look forward to that which is coming for the believer. Hymn 69 is essentially says all that I said here. It begins with, Lord, with glowing heart I would praise you. I do not have the love that I would have. I do not express it the way that I would. You can go and look at that hymn and see that gap is here, but is closed in heaven. Let's close this session with prayer.